Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Gimel, and we are getting close to our Siyum. Wow. Okay, so we're holding at the two dots, and we got up to Kochot Mei Brachot Shebimigdash. Do not say Amen. Now again, this is the closing of the Mishnah, and it's the closing of the Mishnah in the context of a perek that, as we spoke about, goes in to contrast the state of our lowest physical selves, which is all of the Gemara is about going to the bathroom, and in great detail, defecation, urination. And this goes hand in hand with the Inyanim in the Mishnah that have to do with the Kovet to the Harabayis and to the Beis HaMikdash, which seems to us a bit inappropriate until we realize that Guf of the Bracha itself is galui v'yadu lefnei kisei chivodecha. And now, at the closing, at the climax of the closing of the Masechet, remember that the expression that we have of the relationship of tzadik be'emunato yichyeh, the concept of emuna, which is the name of the Seder, is the idea of amen. And that is ma Hashem lokecha sho'el mi'imach. Ma is mea, mea brachais, and that is the tzaddik that is einim, the mea brachais, and somehow or other that concept of bracha changes in the Beis HaMikdash in a way that is very profound, in that it forces us to interrelate olam hazeh and olam haba, and these are the closing words of the Mishnah in brachas, meaning of the Masechet that Rebbe wrote. So kol chot mei brachot shebimikdash, do not say just amen. And it used to be that they just said min ha'olam, and then they were metaken to say min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So kol kach loma, even though the word amen is the essence of emuna, right? Nonetheless, the fisha ein onim amen b'migdash, which is amazing. Why would that be, and where do we see it? Minayin she ein onim amen b'migdash, shenema. We find that it says beferish in the pasuk that the Levim at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they, when they opened up with the Shira, they said, Kuma barachu et Hashem Elokechem min ha'olam ad ha'olam, v'yavarachu shem kivodecha umromam al kol bracha utihila. So then that means that they insisted that there would be a bracha, v'yavarachu shem kivodecha. V'yavarachu shem kivodecha is the one thing that is missing from Amen. So that even though a bracha has Elokeinu Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam, the ending of Amen is not Mekayim, the Inyan of Shem. And remember that the closing that we had yesterday was the relationship of Rabbi Akiva's death to Afilu, even up to this point, and this was his whole point of Yitzias Nishmosei Be'echad, was the integration of the previous daf's very careful description of the way in which our dual-brained humanity was actually initially a dual-bodied humanity, which became a dual-psychology humanity, which became a dual-yud humanity, which was a complete tearing apart of ourselves, and which is only ultimately achieved as a unity through Echad. And this was Rabbi Akiva, who managed that darg at the very last moment of his life, and was mezumet to chaye olam haba. The relationship of olam hazeh and olam haba is min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. And that is the expression of the Beis HaMikdash, which was that Rabbi Akiva came to say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That was the difference between that moment and others. And so Memela, the Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael, forces us, when we're at the greatest heights in the Beis HaMikdash, to recognize that Amen is all very nice for this world, as well as the normal brachas are all very nice for this world. But, and Rashi clearly sees that this is the pshat, because Rashi brings the Tosefta, which does not belong here necessarily, and there was no reason to bring it in terms of Pashat Pshat. But Rashi brings the Tosefta to show that the entire idea of brachas in Olam Hazeh is merely to practice. Hanhigu birchotav b'Olam Hazeh kedei lihiyot regilim lo'olam haba shekulo aroch, which means that the nature of Umuna, as we've understood it until now, as a personal space and a consciousness within Olam Hazeh, is actually a joke, in a sense, because it's such a poor echad mishishim that even in its highest level, it gives you a mere taste. But this taste is expressed, an amazing tosefta, the taste is expressed in brachas. in the concept of brachos. And because of that, we change in the Beis HaMikdash to the full interrelationship of being rogil in Olam HaZeh, to the concepts of Olam HaBa, so that it is, becomes part of us and is our capability to create in Olam HaZeh. And therefore, we need to mention the shame, and that's why we have to say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Olam Va'ed, and that is Merumas Gufa at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. You might think that this means that you say Yochol Kol HaBrachot Kulam Te'elahem Te'ilah Achat. You might think that you wait until the end of all of the brachas in a series, let's say in the Shemoneh Esrei, or whatever. You don't say on every single bracha Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Olam Va'ed. Talmud Lomar Umaromam Al Kol Bracha Te'ilah Al Kol Bracha Bracha Ten Lo Te'ilah. What is the Birchas Koyanim? Instead of saying Amen after Yivorecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, it's Baruch Shem Kavod Malkuso Limin Olam V'ad Olam. That is the way that you need to be Noyek. Hitkinu, and the most amazing thing, is that even that concept of needing to be Maskir the Shem instead of Amen became a takona to be Maskir the Shem in saying hello to your friend. Now you can see how this entire thing is so profoundly interrelated. We didn't just throw in the story of Boaz over here. It comes out directly from the concept of not saying Amen in the Beis HaMikdash and moving on to literally, of course, this was Nogea, the Takana that Boaz had originally seen at the time of the birth of the whole Seder of the birth of Mashiach. And because of that, and in Ezra's time, they took that Takana of Boaz that was only there and made it part of the way that everybody is Chayev. And then we started bringing various psukim. So why do we need all of these different psukim? I mean, it says beferish that Boaz said Hashem imachem, because v'kitema Boaz midaita denafshik amar. Maybe you would think that Boaz only said this, from his own. I mean, he was like very sensitive to the questions and the problems that had arisen in social structure in those days. No, Tashma, he built it on the Malach who had said to Gideon, Hashem imcha gibor achayu. So then why do we need the other pasuk for? So because v'chitev ha-malach hudekom alay le-Gidon, what makes you think that the malach was saying hello to Gidon? Maybe the malach was saying to Gidon the fact, I was sent by a Kaddish Baruch Hu to tell you, God is with you. Now what does that have to do with learning to say hello to someone with the words God is with you? No. If you think that, and you want to argue on Boaz, it's time for you to learn a little respect. And that's the next pasuk, which is the Al Tavos Ki Zaknan Cha, the Zekenim of your Uma, which is someone like Boaz of the Shoftim. Do not be Mevaze what he said, thinking that you have a better pshat in the pasuk. If he based his Hanhoga on this behavior of the Malach, it means that that's how he understood and was Mekabel, that was the meaning of that pasuk. And therefore, furthermore, it says, Eit la sot la Hashem, eferu toratecha. Even if you want a taina that it's usser to say the Shem Hashem on something so lowly as a human being, there are times where you need to do something that appears to be the wrong thing, as Rashi said earlier, and do it nonetheless because of the fact that the Torah is becoming weaker and people no longer understand anything about what they're doing. So in making them do something that seems to them outrageous, they suddenly become aware of the deeper sense of what is really going on in their life. This is the way that we have it here in the Bavli. Reb Nissan Gaon brings over here beautifully that the idea of Eit La'asot La'Hashem from the Yerushalmi is very different. Eit La'asot La'Hashem, Heferu Toratecha, is a continuation of the idea of Al Tavos Ki Zakna Imecha. That means, according to the Yerushalmi, when you see that Klal Yisrael has gotten old and senile and no longer is responsive to anything, so nizdakna umatcha, then you get up and do what you got to do. Amod v'gidra, that's the point. And sometimes that involves, Eit la'asot la'Hashem eferu toratecha. Says Rava, this pasuk, now over here, Rashi understands that the pasuk is referring to more than he said before. Before he said something, you're allowed to do something that looks bad because of the way in which people will be sort of outraged at this. But the truth is, of course, the pasuk means more than that. And because of that, Rashi repeats over here the maimer of Rava, but he learns it in a different way that would include doing an Isser D'Oraisa, because here he uses it to refer to the case of the Hakrava Alabama by Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel, in which case Rava's explanation also now takes on a different look than it did before. So Omar Rava Haikra Miresha L'Seifa Midrash V'Seifa L'Resha Midrash. You can read it frontwards and backwards, and it still will teach you tremendous things. Look, the simple meaning, which is a new meaning to us, is Eit La'asot L'Hashem. There's a time when God is really going to just let it all out, and he's been holding everything in, but there, don't give up on Midas Adin. There's a time when it's going to happen. My Tom, Mishum Heferu Torasecha. He doesn't put up with the fact that the Torah has become the way it is now. But also Miseful Resha Midrash. You should be Mefer Toratecha, even if it's a Diraita. My Taima, Mishum Eit Lasot Lashem. Tanya, Hillel Hazaken Omer. There's another application of this idea, which is that B'sha'at HaMachnisim Pazer. Eit Lasot Lashem means look at the time, the contemporary times to you, and utilize those times to assess how it is that you should be relating your Torah to the people around you. So therefore, if you live in a time, b'sha'at ha-machnisim, that people who know Torah are not teaching, so then you have no choice but to be pazer. You're called upon to teach. But b'sha'at ha-mifazrim, if everybody's going around teaching, kanes, then don't teach. Keep it all inside. So you'll taina, but how can I keep it all inside if there's a mitzvah to be malamed? Eit la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha. That's how Rashi understands it. So even though you're doing the wrong thing, but since it's l'shem shamayim, that you should be tzanua and should not take upon yourselves any type of authority, that's also l'chvot shamayim. It's eit la'asot la'Hashem to be an onav. And since it says, Eit la'asot la'Hashem heferu toratecha, you are allowed not to teach your Torah, and therefore don't. Furthermore, says Hillel, a very important thing, which is that Eit la'asot also means like this. It depends on the times. Im ra'ita dor she'ein ha'torah chaviva alav, kanes. If there's a time that you live, that you see that people have no respect and interest for divrei Torah, do not teach it to them. Why? Because you're mevazeh the Torah. And therefore, Eit la'asot la'Hashem, heferu toratecha, don't try even, and Rashi's lashon is, shelo tatil divrei Torah lebizayon. It is inappropriate to expose Torah to people who have no respect for it. I told you this amazing story that before I published Frameworks, so Reb Naftali Kaplan went to ask Reb Shloime Zalman whether it's mutter, because since it exposes so much divrei Torah in a generation that couldn't care less about divrei Torah, maybe you're not allowed to do that. His response was so classic, a Godel B'Torah's response. So he said the only reason that you're not supposed to teach in these times is, like Rashi says, shelo tatil divrei Torah lebizayon. The matzav today is that divrei Torah are in a state of such incredible bizayon that you can't possibly make it worse. So the only thing that you could do is make it better. So if there's one or two people that will gain more respect to the Torah, then it's kedai. It's like, wow. Okay. Hey, feru Torah techa. So because of that, do not spread around your Torah. Milafaz Rabraz Rashi says, because that you should be kaines, which is l'shem shamayim in those circumstances. Shenemar yesh mifazer venosaf ot. Ve'im ra'ita dor she'en ha'torah chaviva, lav kanei shenemar eit la'zot la'shem eferu torah techa. Dorash bar kapora. Remember, bar kapora's got his words of wisdom, 25 cents. The zalat kvotz kanei mine. If things have gone down in value, that's the time to buy up as much as you can. The stock market collapsed because of coronavirus. It's going to go back up. Buy, 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 says bar kapora. And of course, the same thing is true of Divrei Torah. And Batar the late Gavar, Taman Havi Gavar. If there's no one else that's doing the job, that's where you're called upon to be the man. Omar Abaya, Shema Amina. But you can also imply from what he's saying that if there is the man, then Taman Lota Havi Gavar, then don't be the man. Well, obviously, I mean, isn't that what it's saying? Pshita, no. It doesn't mean not to teach and not to be Meira Hira in front of your Rebbe. That's obvious. It's talking about over here that even if you've got other people that are not, they're not bigger people than you are, and you would think, okay, so I'll give the drasha. No, no, no. Let him give the drasha. Doesn't mean the man. If there's a man, so let the man do it. There's another man. Let him do it. Dorash bar kapara. Ezoi parashak tanasha kol gufei Torah tuluinba. Bechol drachecha da ehu. Vuhu yasher orchotecha. Basically, if your derech is to be yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it is something that is osir, which is the what we were talking about over here of the posik that we brought to be matter things that are daimelis or even deraisis at that time, like being makriv on Obama, that's the idea. But kol derachecha de'er, says Rava, even to do an avera. Now, filo the dvar avera. Dorash bar kapara, another thing is, you should always teach your son an umanut nikiya v'kala. And what is that? Om Rav Chista Machta de Talmiyuta. You know why there's so many Jewish tailors? That was part of the whole shtetl mentality, was the tailor is always the yid. So the tailors were always the one that were the simple, good people who had so many stories to tell you and so many little vertlak to tell you. You would go into the tailor and you would sit down, and while he's sewing things up and so on, he'd be talking to you in Divrei Torah. So there's famous stories. I mean, I remember even as a kid when the tailors came over from Europe, it was exactly that type of personality. So teach your son to do machta de talmiyuta, which is to be able to sew in beautiful straight lines like the telem, which makes even the pleats, which is very difficult to do. He'll know how to do that. He'll make lots of money, as much as he needs, doesn't have to work too long, and he can sit there and talk divrei Torah. Tanya Rabbi Yomer. We're talking about being tsanua, not putting yourself in a position in which you're spreading around your Torah necessarily, or bringing people into your home. Don't bring people into your home. A guy's got a lot of friends, meaning that he doesn't really know, casual acquaintances. All you're going to do is get into arguments. Tanya Rebbe Omer Al-Yiman, the Adam Apotropis B'toch Beto. You should not have financial advisors in your house either. Because if Yosef hadn't been appointed to that position, all of that trouble that they got into would never have happened. Tanya Rebbe Omer Loma Nismecha Parshat Nazir Parshat Sota. Loma Lecha Shekolo Ro'e Sota Bekukula Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. Now, here we're getting into the transition, as we do at the end of every Masechet, the transition into the following sugyas in the next parts of the Seder. The next parts of the Seder involve us in all the other elements of Emuna, which is the giving over of matones, which it seems to us that the matones la'aniyim are the ikar matones, and then the other matones that we give to the kayanim, to the levium, those are things that are less directly nogea to the upkeep. But the truth is that in terms of emuna, the highest expression of emuna is not to forget the levi, specifically because we see the connection. Yes, we've got people who are holding their hands out and reminding us about the levi, which, by the way, does remind me about a very important point. I forgot to mention Rav Kaplan's Purim Fund. So he called me desperate yesterday, and oh my gosh, I forgot even to mention it. Barnea hasn't even put out the envelope on the table yet, and this calls for very, very immediate emergency action. So that, remember, anybody who wants to donate money to bona fide Aniyim, at least according to Rav Kaplan, and he's a very decent guy, I would assume that he's done his required and necessary investigations, as he claims, that these people, Poshut, wouldn't have a Purim or wouldn't have a Pesach. So remember to specify if you want to give these funds to be given out on the 14th of Adar or on the 15th of Adar, depending where you are. Usually Rabbi Barnea puts out two envelopes. We've had to get a little bit old-fashioned with our Zoom, go back to the previous Zoom because of the coronavirus that was passing through the Zoom content. So you can't pass your money anymore through Zoom, but You could let me know, and I will let Rav Kaplan know. And it'll be there in your name for Purim. Okay, anyway, so in reality, we're moving along now to show how the relationship of Emunah and Kriyat Shema and the Shema Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash translates directly into the Matanais, which are, of course, the next Mesechtot, which we're going to have to skip because of the Daf Yomi schedule to do Shabbos next during this time. But remember that in reality, Trumas and Maisras and Maisra Ani and all of the other gifts, these are all things that are coming up if we would be going in the Seder of the in the correct Seder of the Mesechtot. And so we move on now to discuss that issue in this transition. So why, therefore, says Rabbi Yochanan, we find Parsha Sota, why does it come together, besmichas, with the Parsha Trumas u'Maisras? So malacha koshi yesh lo trumot u'masrot ve'nonotam lekohen, sof nitztarech lekohen al yedei ishto, shenemar ve'ish et kedoshav lo yihiyu. A person who keeps his own kochim, meaning he doesn't give Trumas u'Maisras, then ish ish kitiste ishto, and then ve'via ish et ishto ala kohen. Not only that, the sof, he himself will be the one that will have to eat the very matanais that he didn't want to give, like leket shik chapeya and so on. Shenemar ish et kidoshav lo yiyu. He'll be the one that's going to need them. Omrim nachlo bar yitzchav imnat nan. If you do give your truma, so maestros sof mit asher. Shenemar ish asher yiten lakohen lo yiyye. Lo yiyye means he's going to have it, man, which means lo yiyye mamon arbe. He will get very rich. Omrim nachlo bar brach, mishum rabbi olazar hakafar. Somebody who is meshatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his pain. So there's different ways of learning this. It could mean to be mekabel yisurin. It could mean to daven. And it could mean, in the highest expression of what the as the Rebbe will be very happy to hear, it could mean, if he's sitting up properly, so then it could mean that the idea is that his tefillos include the tsar of the Shechina. So he's never just mispalel for himself, but he's mispalel because of what it is that the unfortunate circumstances that he finds himself in is gerim tsar to the Shechina. As it says that even when a Rosha is lokoi Shechina ma'omeret oile miroshi, oile mizroi, he's meshatef that, and when he says asei l'man shemecha, he means it. And it really is that he wants to bring tikkun to a world. And not just that he's worried about himself and his own problems. So koflim lo b'parnasato shenemar v'haya shaddai b'tzarecha v'kesef to'afot lach. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmeni omer parnasato ma'ofefet lo ketzipor. To'afot can mean doubling, but it could also mean flying up to the sky like a bird. Shenemar v'kesef to'afot lach. Omrev tavri omrev yoroshia kolam ra'peatzmo medivrei Torah ein bo koach la'amod b'yom tzara. If a guy doesn't put in the necessary effort into learning. Now, from here, we are going to be moving on to the last real issue. And that issue started at the beginning of the Masechet, which is the relationship of Kriyat Shema, which was the beginning of the Masechet and Emunah, to Torah. And remember that you can be Yotze with Kriyat Shema, Shachris V'Arvis, V'Higita Bo Yomam V'Laila. We had all discussion earlier whether it's a good thing to tell this to an Amoritz, a bad thing to tell this to an Amoritz. But as we're going to see, the kiyum of the nature of Emunah is not a belief system. The kiyum of a nature of Emunah is a space within which you live and allows you a completely different level of interrelationship with the world around you. And that's true of any Emunah. The Tzadik ben Munato Yechiyah, it's always definitive of a way in which your life is going to unfold and your relationships will unfold because of the space in which you're in. That ultimate space is Torah. And that includes all of those possibilities and the Shivim Panim LaTorah and the interconnections of the most incredible multiplicity of levels of interconnections that are open to you purely in terms of Emunah. That is the equivalent of the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And because of that, we close the Masechet of Kriyat Shema, Bracha, an introduction to the idea of Emunah, with the understanding of the incredible value and meaning of learning and what Divrei Torah can mean to a person. And not only that, but how anyone that is connected to those who are osik in that space, which become the equivalent of Levi, of Shevet Levi, that is Malavi Yisrael, how much it brings into the machana as a whole from that emuna. So we start off slow, as if, again, this is all part of the incredible multi-layered structure that was put into the Gemara that the Rambam points out is so incredibly beyond simple human ken that it was clear to anybody as soon as it was written that it was done Baruch HaKadosh. So again, the Gemara always pretends to have some type of local reason to move on. So we were talking about that the idea of these psukim, and because of it, we moved on to from Parnasa and Shituf of Tzar to the idea of Kol HaMarapeh Atzmo Midivrei Torah. If you didn't respond properly to the need to learn, you will not have koyach when you need it. Shenemar Hitrapita, if you've gotten weak, Biyom Tzara Tzar Kochacha. You won't be able to stand up in the tough times. Om Rabami Bar Mat Om Shmuel. It doesn't mean only from Divrei Torah. Even one mitzvah, all it says is Yitrapita. Did you get weak? That's Mikol Makom. Om Rav Safar Rabbi Avoy, Rabbi Avu Avi Mishtoi Kishiyorat, Chanina Ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua Legola. Rabbi Avu would say over this story, and I heard it from him, that Chanina, who was the Gadol Hador, when he left Eretz Yisrael, and he was the son, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua, and he went down to Bavel. Hayama Aber Shanim the Kovea Kadashim Bechutzla Arts. So what he did was he defined the Zmanim, which of course is also very fundamentally part of the way we relate to the world. And in Eretz Yisrael, after some time passed, as we'll see, they objected to his doing that, because it says in the Pasuk, which means that you can only be Ma'aber Shanim, if possible, in Eretz Yehuda. So they sent two Talmidei Chachamim to stop it. One was Rabbi Yossi ben Kiper, and one was a grandson to Rabbi Zechariah ben Kavutal, who used to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So now Rabbi Chanina, sees them coming, and he's so happy. Wow. He says to them, wow, what brings you all the way to Bavel? So they said, what do you mean? We came to learn Torah from the Torah giant in Bavel, you. So he immediately announced to all of the people in the community, look at this. The Gedolei Hador have arrived, and the Avotehem Shimshu Beit HaMikdash. We know that it's mentioned in the Mishnah and Yuma, Zechariah ben Kavutal, Omer Arbe Pa'amim Kariti Lefanavdi. I used to read on Yom Kippur night in front of the Kohen Gadol from Sefer Daniel. And look at this. His grandson has come to learn here because this is the greatest yeshiva in the world. I'm sure everybody's going to want to hear what these wonderful people have to say about wonderful us. Anyway, so Rabbi Chanina starts giving over his Piskei Halakos and his drushas. Everything that he says, they say the opposite. So he starts being Darish, you know, and he's B'tameh. They say, no, it's Tor. He says it's Osir. They say, no, it's Mutter. So he sent around the word in the newspaper, these guys are phonies. They're shol shoveim, shol tohim. Pay no attention to them. They said to him, it's too late, buddy. Kvar banita, yata yachol istor. Kvar gadarta, yata yachol ifrotz. Nobody's going to believe you now. You already said that we're the greatest. Now they're going to look at you as being the phony if now all of a sudden we're no good because we don't agree with you. So you're in bad shape. Okay, why are you doing this to me? Mipnei ma ani mitameh v'atem mitarim. Ani oser v'atem matirim. Omru lo, look. You got to be taken down a few rungs off your ladder. So he said to them, well, Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef, he used to do the same thing. Oh, so he said to them, please, leave off from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, there was no one like him of his madrega in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, since he was the Gadol Hador, he had no choice but to be Ma'aber Shanim if he happened to be in Bavel at that time. So then he had to be Ma'aber Shanim in Bavel. So he said to them, me too? I know who was back there in Eretz Yisrael. There was nobody on my madriga. They said to him, you're right, but that was years ago. Remember, Gideim Sheinachta, you left these little young rams, now kids, now they've become rams, buddy. And they ain't only rams. They got big horns. And if you start up with them, those horns are going to go right into you. They're Balei Karnayim. And it was those horns that sent us to you to warn you. And here's what they said to say and to announce to the public. They said, tell him Bishmenu. First tell him, if he accepts, mutav. If not, he should be benidui, which we're putting on here, and tell the people publicly, imru l'achinu shebegola, if you guys accept what we're telling you to stop listening to Rabbi Chanina, then fine. If not, here is what we think you should do. If you want to continue having your own calendar, why not go all the way, make your own temple, make your own God, go up to the top of a mountain somewhere, and let the Rosh HaGolo over here, Mr. Achia was his name, let him build the new Mizbeach, let this Rabbi Chanina character, no, sorry, let Rabbi Hananya, who was a Levi, let him play the kinnor in front of this Boma for Avodah Zarah, and then all of you guys should start singing Ein Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael, because basically that's what's going on over here. Everybody breaks out in tears. Chas v'shalom, what are you talking about? Yesh Lanu Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. Whoa, this is like serious stuff. I mean, what are we going to this extent? I mean, it seems like it's a little bit impolitic, to say the least. Kol kach lama, mishum shenemar ki mitzion teitzei Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. Hey, how did they do this? I mean, he could be metaher, and they could be metame, okay? Because that's a chumrah, and you're allowed to argue on someone, even though he metaher something, if you feel that he gave over the wrong psak, you can say it's usher. But how could he say something is tame, and they would say that it's tohar? Even if they held that, they wouldn't be allowed to be metaher. Doesn't it say in a bright about Tanya chacham shetime, ein chaveiro reshai letaher? A chacham that said something is usher, his friend is not allowed to undo his psak and to say that it's mutter? Yes, that's under normal circumstances, but over here, they needed to pull the rug out from Rabbi Chanina. And kasavri ki hechad alo nigeru batre, they didn't want people that would be following him. And so, of course, our Masechet Anamuna closes with Barnea's neighborhood. Tana Rabbana, kishe nichnesu rabotenu lekeren biyavna. So this, after the Churban, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had saved Yavna, and this became the mokum of the kinos of the Chachomim. So there was Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemia, Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And basically, it was the first, all of these Tamid Chachomim had gathered together. And the entire city opened up their homes for these Talmid Chachomim who didn't have homes, who had just arrived. And because of that, they had this vast kiddush in which all of them opened up and gave speeches about how wonderful the people are, which is called Kvod Achzanya. And so they all started giving drushas about the Kvod Achzanya Vidarshu. However, Rabbi Yehuda, who was the Rosh HaMedabrim B'chol Makom, which we'll see in Shabbos how that happened, but the Romans had made him first speaker, and he did not open with Kvod Achzanya. He opened with the Kvod HaTorah, and he was derech like this. It says that Moshe took his personal ohel, put it outside of the Machaneh, and that was the place where he kept the Shechina and anybody who wanted to come and to learn and to be makabel. This is after the Maisa Egel, the broken pieces of the Luchais. He brought it mechutz l'machana. And they had to come out to chutz l'machana. And what does it say over there? V'yakom mevakesh Hashem yetzer el ohel moed. He called it the ohel moed, even though it wasn't. But it was pre-Mishkan, but he called it the ohel moed. So, halot dvarim kavachomer, said Rabbi Yehuda. Look at this. The fact is that the Oren Hashem lo hayam ruchak ela shneim asar mil. And nonetheless, the Torah calls anybody, the maximum journey, even if you lived all the way on the other side of the Machaneh, it was only 12 kilometers. So the furthest that you had to go to come and to seek the Dvar Hashem from Moshe Rabbeinu was 12 kilometers. And it says over there, v'yakom mevakesh Hashem. So the Torah calls anyone who does that a mavakesh Hashem, which is tremendous maila. So Talmidei Chachomim, look at these people here that go from city to city, from country to country, to learn Torah and to be exposed to every possible person that could give them and teach them something new. Imagine how much greater in terms of Bikush Hashem they are. And then it says, Diber Hashem Moshe. Panim el panim. What does that mean? It doesn't mean literally panim el panim, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him, lo tuchal lirot et panai. So what it means is Panim is a way of relating. Listen here, Moshe. Let's do it panim b'panim. What does that mean? Nazbir panim b'alacha. Let's be good to each other, patient with each other. Let's discuss the Torah together. Now listen, I've been very nice to you. Panim b'fanim. You have to be very nice to them. Kachata azbir panim liyisrael. And get this oil back to its place. Now look, if you keep up this behavior, what are all of these people going to say? Harav bekas, meaning me. The Talmud is bekas, meaning you. And what's supposed to be with Klal Yisrael? Nobody loves them anymore. If you move the oil back, that's good. But if not, what's the next pasuk? The next pasuk is Yoshua ben Nun nar lo yamish mitoch oil. Well, I got news for you. You're going to be dead, and he's going to be the one in the oil, because I'm going to replace you. And therefore, imlav Yoshua ben Nun tamidecha misharei tachtecha v'ainu dechtiv v'shav el amachne. Get back in, Amar Rava. Even though Moshe did, of course, lo yatsa hadavar levatala, because in the end, the truth is mishorto Yoshua ben Nun nar lo yamish mitoch oil. Furthermore, Patach Rabbi Yehuda, another drasha b'chvod haTorah, and he said, it says, Hasket Ushma Yisrael. So this is a different insight into the nature of the Shmia of Yisrael. Hayom hazeh nihyeta la'am. Is that true? Is this the day of Kabbalat HaTorah? V'chi oto hayom nitna Torah liYisrael, v'lo oto hayom sof arboim shanaya. This is 40 years later. Ela l'lamdecha shechaviva Torah alomdea b'chol yom v'yom. This is the drasha that points out the incredible, as we'll see in a moment, experiential relationship between the chiddush of Limud Torah and the Kriyat Shema, as we're going to see in a moment. So it's as if the Torah is kol kach chaviva lomdea every single day, as if this was the first day that it was ever received. Now these next words are, whoa, astonishing. Do you want to experience this yourself? You think that this sounds like this massive, new, wow, what a madrega, to be looking at Divrei Torah as if today is the day it was given. It's you, buddy. Because Teda, what happens if a guy has been reading Kriyat Shema for the past 50 years, every morning, every evening, before he goes to bed, he says Kriyat Shema, and then one day he wakes up late and he looks at his, oh my God, it's after Zman Kriyat Shema. The guy is like in absolute distress. Oh, how could I miss Zman Kriyat Shema? I mean, you'd think a guy would say, okay, you know, the 10,964th time I miss Kriyat Shema. All right, we'll make up for it the 10,965th time. I mean, it's not the end of the world. Oh, no, no, no. In his mind, it's like, I've never read Kriyat Shema in my life. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? And that is an incredible thing. So it must be that he's viewing that Kriyat Shema as being absolutely unique because it's today's Kriyat Shema. But remember that, what's he bringing in Kriyat Shema for if we're trying to bring a riot to Divrei Torah? Aha. Once again, we see that experience of the nature of Emunah, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is the essence of Limud Torah. And that's exactly what I'm proving to you, says Reb Tanko. One day, he doesn't read it, Erev Echad, Eino Kore, Dome Kemi Shelo Kora Kriyat Shema Miolam. In his mind, it's like, oh my God, I've never said Kriyat Shema in my life. Why? You can't make up from one instant to another instant. That is the deepest expression of the newness of Limud HaTorah.